it changes lives, right? Like you look at Paul and Timothy, and he said to Timothy, I treat you according to the prophetic words over your life.
Yeah.
What shifts in a person when I don't look at them for their current condition, but rather instead who God has called them to be? And there's something about that power of belief and partnering with the word of God that when those two things match, it causes transformation. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about some of the people that I disciple right now was just that what's limiting them is not them, it's your belief in them.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be such a special conversation, such a special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my special guest joining me for today's conversation, she's an inspiration, to be honest. She really is. You're going to be so encouraged by how big our God is and what happens just with one of us who is willing to lay down and like really truly surrender and yield and say, what do you want to do through me, Jesus? And she is a living testimony of that. She's traveled all over the world for the last 15 years, more than 15 years, ministering and preaching the gospel to some of the darkest places in the world. Literally, you'll hear some of her stories as we start to speak. She's an international speaker. She is an international missionary, and she's now an author of a very important book called The Bartimaeus Generation, which you're going to hear about as well. It's my privilege, honestly, to welcome into the conversation with me today, Jessica Tate. Mm-hmm. Jessica, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Liz. What an honor, and just so excited to do this with you. So thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you on. And I'm really just listening to your testimony and like starting to read through your book. Just, yeah, you are, like I said, you know, you reveal to us what happens when we'll dare to just give up and let God be God through us and with us. And yeah, just walk in obedience. And so I want to start, for people that don't know who you are, will you share a little bit of your testimony of, you know, what your life was like as a, well, you're still a missionary, but when you were, you know, that out there in the Congo or wherever on one of the God adventures and God journeys that you were on, and then you're, what happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always kind of awkward for me when people say, oh, you're such a model of yielding or bravery. And I'm like, the only thing I really know how to do is just tell him yes. And as long as we keep doing that, then things will always seem to work out, you know? And so I got saved at 16 years old. I wasn't really raised in a predominantly Christian home. And so when I met Jesus, he became everything. And I'm sure many of your viewers can just understand that moment. Like, he comes and it's like, okay, Lord, I have very little to offer you, but whatever you want, like, here it is, here's my life. And so by the time I was 18, he started sending me out on the mission field. And by the time I was 21, I started going into war zones. And it has just been an absolute adventure of a journey with him, of some of the highs and highs and highs that we have, and getting to see him move in some of the darkest places on the earth, you know, crazy miracles and signs and wonders and just provision and protection and all of those things that we get to see Jesus do on this wild adventure with him. And then some of the absolute lows. And, you know, you were mentioning my testimony before we got on the show. And a large part of that now is just a season that I went through after a very rough season of war. I went through PTSD. And I ended up just very much a shell of who I was as a person, and was really dealing with this tension that I think every believer goes through, this moment of what do we do and what comes out of my heart in those moments where what I believe about God, what I believe about his nature and who he is, what comes out when I'm not seeing that manifest. And so what I mean by that for me was I was, you know, anxious, depressed, became suicidal, you know, begging God to see a healing, getting prayed for by so many people and not seeing it happen. And man, all of these things start coming out of your heart, you know, and you go, wow, like, is God who I believed him to be? You know, will he do for me what I've seen him do for so many other people? And honestly, it was the hardest season, but the absolute best season of my life, because now I can stand on the other side of it and go, 100%, he is who we think he is. He is good. He is kind. He is healer. He is faithful. And you come out of that with a resilience and a strength that you probably didn't have before the testing. You come out with a conviction you most likely didn't have before the testing. And so I'm thankful for the journey. And I'm so thankful for the pain and the crazy. And so since then, now I run two different ministries. One's called Yielded Ministries. That's our missions arm. We have bases in South America. We send out missions teams and do all sorts of fun stuff like that around missions. And then just 2 years ago, I moved off the mission field. I'd been living in Brazil and I came to the States. And, you know, one of the hardest yeses for a missionary is to come back to home, you know, and go, okay, God, like, I'll come and be in a local church and plug in and, you know, pastor to some degree in some of the things that I'm doing and see if the things that I've seen work in war zones work in the local restaurants and grocery stores and all of those kind of things here. And so it's been a fun journey, but in the middle of that, the Lord really started speaking to me heavily about this next generation. And so I launched a ministry called Apostello. It's really focused on raising up young female ministers, but we also do tons of ministry with young guys as well, young adults in general, just focused on Gen Z and believing that the prophecies about that generation are true. And so that's where I'm feel led to invest my time and focus and energy right now. And it has been, in many ways, as crazy as a war zone. That's been a lot of fun.
But it's been a different way.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So brilliant. So when I've been reading through the book, I just thought, oh my gosh, Jesus is really raising you up as a voice. You've got his heart for Gen Z big time, haven't you? Like, so Holy Spirit, I know you were sharing that in lockdown, when the whole world had gone into global lockdown, Jesus began to speak to you and give you his heart and talk to you about the Bartimaeus generation. So what did he show? What did he show you?
Yeah. So I was in Brazil at the time. I was running a pretty large school of supernatural ministry, training young people. And what happened is our school, like many others all around the world, they went online. And I noticed that my students weren't doing well. And it started causing me to ask questions. And I'm like, God, like, man, are we not doing discipleship well? Like, where's resilience in this generation? And if I'm honest, I started believing a lot of lies about them. And the Lord just kind of was like, we're not going to tolerate that, daughter, you know, and just took me into Ezekiel and showed me like, hey, your job is to prophesy into the dead bones. Like, I see an army where you see a problem. And he spoke to me so clearly one day. He said, I call them the Bartimaeus generation, and I want you to call them that as well. And it just took about a year of unpacking Mark 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus, and going, man, this is who God says they are. And it was so, I'm sure you can speak to this too. Like, when the Lord gives you a word, it became so real. And it was like, nope, this is like, you can't convince me this isn't true, no matter what the statistics say. And so that season just deepened this message inside of me of like, man, God is saying big things, big prophetic words over this generation. And we can choose to believe statistics or we can partner with him. And I want to partner with him, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something, I've got to read this quote because I just thought, oh, this is profound. It's from your book. You said, believers were never supposed to, so none of us are ever supposed to just accept the narrative of society and culture. But as Christians, our job is not to tell the temperature of a room. Our job is to set the temperature of the room. Basically, to bring heaven's perspective so that we stop defining people or identifying people by their struggles and disabilities. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's like a communicating that to people under the power of Holy Spirit can reset culture, can change, right? Because we just bring his perspective like you are now to Gen Z. This, you know, the news says this and all the stats say X, Y, and Z. But actually, that's not what the Lord is saying about his children, right?
Right, right. It changes lives, right? Like, you look at Paul and Timothy, and he said to Timothy, I treat you according to the prophetic words over your life.
Yeah.
What shifts in a person when I don't look at them for their current condition, but rather instead who God has called them to be? And there's something about that power of belief and partnering with the word of God that when those two things match, it causes transformation. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about some of the people that I disciple right now was just that what's limiting them is not them, it's your belief in them.
Wow.
I mean, that'll hit you.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's like, I am waiting for your belief as a spiritual leader in their life to match up with what I've said. And then that will activate the transformation in their life. And so when you take that seriously, it goes, okay, man, let me not partner with anything the enemy is saying about them. Even if it's factual, it's not truth, you know? So let me actually say, this is what God is saying over this generation. Let me partner with it. And then with the individual lives that we're dealing with on day to day, whether that's your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, all of us have them around us all the time, in the church, out of the church. Man, what if we take those one life and go, this is what God says about you. And I'm going to believe for that with you. You know, it's transformational. And that changes culture. It's crazy.
It does.
Yeah.
That one key, if we can all do that. You know what I mean? We can all go to the Lord and just get his perspective and start to relate rightly. Do you know, years ago, it reminds me, the Lord had me walking with different leaders who were in different stages. Some of them were just starting out in birthing their visions. And Jesus put this grace on me for a season in my life where I could only see people 100% of the time that I was walking with through the lens of his heart. And I would call them into being and I wouldn't see sin struggles and control issues and stuff that other people will pull in their hair out around. And they would tell me, and I had this grace on me to never come in agreement with the negative about them, but relate to them rightly and call them forth. And just like exactly what you just said, my belief in them was literally like oxygen to their life. And they would rise up and open to the standard that I expected of them just because I was relating to them through the eyes of his heart. So that is culture changing. I mean, with my experience, they went on to lead visions. They progressed in their calling. It was such a privilege. And it was such a joy, you know what I mean? But I would look at people and they'd say, but don't you see this? And don't you see that? And I'd be like, I really don't, you know?
I actually don't. Yeah.
So brilliant. One of the stories in your book that I was just so super inspired by as well was when you were talking about taking some Gen Zers with you and you went into the Ukraine, into the war zone. Will you talk about that? Like what happened there?
Yeah, man, you know, we reproduce who we are, right? And I think there's that's one of the things. So I always end up kind of attracting these ones that are like, let's do something crazy for God, because that's so much of
that's you.
What my personality was. Yeah, exactly. And so it's funny, actually, the young girl, one of the ones that went with me, she actually lives with me now. She's Brazilian. She moved here. I've been discipling her now for a little over 2 years. And she just looked at me. She calls me mom. She looked at me one day and she was just like, you know, you tell all of these stories about God moving and I want to go. And so, you know, I had actually had zero intention of taking them with me. I was like, no, it's a little too dangerous. They're kind of young, you know, those things that go through your head, especially when you're trying to be protective mama bear. And, and man, she was just like, you went at 20, she was 20 at the time. She was like, you went. And I was like, right. Yeah, that's actually
good point.
That's true. And so, man, they went and I just saw them come alive in a way that they never had before, especially the two were both Brazilians. And so, you know, they no familiarity with war or any of those things in their lifetime or seeing those things. And so their eyes opening up, especially one day I remember being on the border. We were watching families flee Ukraine and we were ministering to them and providing all sorts of aid, but also just praying for them and things like that. And she ends up just surrounded by these teenagers. And she grabs one of them and just says, man, like the Lord loves you. Like, give me your phone number. I'm going to walk through this with you. As she is fleeing her home country by herself. And my spiritual daughter just came over to me weeping and was like, I feel the love of God for this person in a way I've never experienced before. And she was like, and she's, you know, just crying, heaving for breath. And I think those moments for me, like you're getting in the heart of our Father, you know, you are seeing people with radical compassion like Jesus did. Yes, we saw signs, miracles, and wonders. And of course, we preach the gospel and we see people come to the Lord. And those things are so important. But those moments when these young people can literally can't separate their own heart from the heart of the Father, it's as if they've become one, which is the ultimate John 15 goal, right? Those moments, I would live my life for that moment, you know, just yeah. those little moments where they see those things. And so both yeah. of them that came, they experienced God in a way they never had before. And at the same time, stepped out and took risks they hadn't taken before. And also became aware of what's happening around the world, which I think is important to not turn a blind eye to what's happening. And so I love those moments. We're taking a large group of girls this summer to Rwanda to go and do things like this. And I think there's something that happens on the mission field. I think everyone should go at least once, you know. There's something that happens on the mission field that gets you a little bit out of your comfort, so dependent on the Lord, connecting with other cultures, realizing that we don't have everything all together. There's so much to learn about God in other cultures. I could talk about this too long. I'm sorry.
Oh, but no, yeah, I love it.
Those things, I think they're just beautiful. Anytime when yeah. we're discipling this generation, anytime that we can cause them to get outside of what's comfortable for them, because they're a part of a culture that everything is convenient. You know, they've made everything so convenient for them. So anytime we can force them outside of their comfort zone. And then number two, when we can awaken them to this reality of, we don't just talk about what, like who God is and doing the stuff. We do the stuff. And I'm not just telling you to do the stuff. I'm doing it with you. Because that's what so much of this generation is looking for, is I'm tired of hearing preachers tell me what to do, but they're not living it out, you know? Mm. So when you can combine those two things, it's just incredible.
Yeah. Just completely life-changing. Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, this generation, you know, they want authentic, right? They don't want religion. They don't want fake. They just want real. Give me real. And what you're walking in is real. Like when you're in those situations, like in the war zones, you know, in the red zones in the world, if Jesus doesn't show up, there is no solution, right?
I mean, right.
You've been in life-threatening situations. I remember listening to one of your testimonies where you just literally would lie there at night and think you're going to die tonight. And if Jesus didn't show up, you know what I mean? If he didn't sovereignly protect you, that's a very real situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's exactly what you're saying. Which don't we too? Like, I think that's the thing, is I'm like, I want the authentic Jesus too. Like, this isn't reserved
for
Gen Z.
It's not quite.
It's the cry of man's
heart. Religion doesn't work. No,
it doesn't work. And I think the reason that Gen Z is so highlighted for this is that they're finally the ones that were willing to say, well, I'm not going to be compliant to something that's not real. Whereas the older generations were more willing to just kind of, you know, we're not going to confront it, but we're still hungry, but we don't want to. And they're more like, nah, I'm not playing your game. And they kind of get a bad rap for that. But man, it's beautiful. Like the way that they hunger purely after the Lord. Side note to that, I went and visited Asbury in the middle of the revival that, or renewal, whatever you choose to call it, that broke out in Kentucky. And I always say the greatest miracle that I saw there was about 20 Gen Zers on the pulpit, the stage, and they were worshiping for hours and they never checked their phones. And there was so much debate around, like, is this real? Is it not real? And I'm like, no, like, you put that many Gen Z people in a room who typically are addicted to phones and things like that. And all they want to do is worship for hours and hours and hours and hours. It may not look like what we're used to, especially in the charismatic world, but that is an authentic move of God, where authentic hearts are just hungry and saying, God, come. Like, we'll stay. As long as you're here, we'll stay. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And that is an absolute, that's confirmation that it was a real move of God, right?
For sure.
Not a phone in sight for hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant. I want to ask you, is there a moment that you had, I'm sure there are many, but that like stands out where you really experienced the love of Jesus in a way when you were out on the mission field and it just radically changed you?
Yeah. Oh gosh. I mean, I know.
We can talk for 5 hours.
Hours and hours and hours. You know, I think there's two predominant stories that really stand out. One is when he really put a mirror in front of me and made me realize that I didn't understand love. And it sounds so strange, but in fact, we recorded this testimony while I was at Bethel. But I retell this story all the time because it was just so powerful for me. But I was in Sudan at the time, serving, and I was exhausted, tired, frustrated, irritated, all those things that you get when you're working for love instead of from it. And I had just gotten to my kind of my peak moment of like, what am I doing? You know, and I'm laying on the ground one night and I hear people singing, and I think that it's the witch doctors. And so I say to the Lord verbally, I go, can you just make them shut up? And the Lord spoke to me and said, Jessica, I like it. And I was like, what's happening that he likes? And so I climb out of my little backpacker's tent, which is no easy feat. And I walk out, and for time's sake, I'll kind of speed up the story, but I go out and all of these young Sudanese from like 2 to 3 years old up to 30, they're worshiping the Lord. They're singing in English, Our God is an Awesome God. If you remember that old song, Our God is an Awesome God.
Yeah, I do.
And you know, you would think that would be the moment that I'm like, this is amazing. But instead it caused this frustration in my heart, because I was sitting there and I was like, one, I'm tired, but two, I'm going, like, I know these kids and I know their stories. They had been sexually abused. They had walked for days to get food. They had, you know, go down the list of things you see in conflict zone. They'd lost their parents. They had been beaten. So many of them, different stories like that. And I'm just sitting there going, what causes young people without any missionary leading them to go out in the middle of the night, midnight, 1 a.m. and sing, Our God is an Awesome God. Like, they're not even interceding for help. Because to me, I could logically understand that, you know, we've got to pray, we need a miracle, we need a breakthrough. No, they are just purely worshiping God, going, Our God is an awesome God. And I walked away from that. I fell on my knees and I said, God, what do they have that I don't have? And he said, Jessica, you love me, but they are in love with me.
Oh, wow.
And I broke. I just broke. And in the way that only he can do, it was like a slice through the heart that felt so good. It was like there was within this rebuke and discipline was an invitation to more that I never knew my heart needed. Only the Lord can do that, right? Like only the Lord can like spank you in a way that you go, wow, thank you. You know, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's, I remember just saying to the Lord as I'm weeping, and I just said, God, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it, like, what do you mean? Like, they're in love with you. Like, and I'm single. So I like, I have no real concept of that. Like, I'm like, I don't get it, God. And I said, but I will spend the rest of my life figuring this out. Like, if that's possible to have that kind of love, that says, no matter what my circumstances are, in the worst of the worst of humanity, God, you're awesome. And all I want to do is worship. And that's the overflow that comes out of my heart in the midst of tragedy and trauma and pain. If loving you and being in love with you is the key, I'll spend the rest of my life for that. And that's kind of been a journey of going, I would say, you know, kind of your life's work for all of us is this journey of like, wow, Lord, I just want to be madly in love with you. Like, you can have all this world, right? Just give me Jesus. Like, yes. And so that's kind of been the journey since then. But I don't know if that fully answers your question, but it's always the one I go back to when people talk to me about feeling loved, because in the weirdest way, it was like the Lord was going, I want you to know the ecstasy of loving me in this way.
Yeah.
I want you to get to experience this, not when you show up in heaven, but I want you to have this now, and it's possible, you know, and that's been the best.
I was going to say, it's like, that's life-changing what you just said. I mean, that's what life's about, isn't it? That is the gospel. That is the privilege and the awesomeness of what's happened to us because of what he did at the cross and what we can choose to step into. It's like, I can hear his invitation in what you've just said. For people like you guys out there, I mean, we all want this, don't we? We all want the more of living, no matter what's going on in that real experience. I've been truly in love with him, no matter what. And that is the pure, like you said, that's what comes out of our heart in the midst of pressure. That's who we are in the core essence of our being. Oh my gosh, that's just profound. And so that's your life. That's your life's journey, really, in the midst of everything else and all the obedience and all the wild war zones and everything that you do, that's you, right? In the midst. Yeah. You ruined your face.
It's us, you know. I think
it's
that's
us. It is us.
Yeah, it's us. It's the true bride of Christ.
It's
being a bride. It's locking eyes on the groom and saying, I won't look away.
Yeah.
No
other loves. No other loves that come anywhere near.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's worthy. Yeah. He's worthy of it all. And as you found out, you know, in the most profound ways, he is faithful and true. He is there. You know, even like you said, when you had that horrendous PTSD and all the trauma that was in you and that led to you feeling suicidal and so on, and he healed you.
Yeah.
He healed you
and
removed all of that so that you could carry on just in your love relationship with him in the nations. It's just beautiful, beautiful. In just a few minutes that we've got left, can I ask you, will you pray for people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to.
Yeah.
And I think something that's been hitting me lately and even pray on this, I've been studying the atonement for the last couple of months. I know we've kind of gotten off Gen Z, but this is this is too good. You know, I've been studying the atonement for the last couple of months, and the Lord's just been really speaking to me about Jessica. Like if you really understood the power of the blood of Jesus, if you really understood what occurred in that moment when we go, okay, Lord, I surrender all. And now the things that we have access to in him and that very story of like the level of intimacy that is possible to truly be one with Holy Spirit. I mean, that's part of the atonement. Part of the atonement is no separation, right? Like separation is now a myth.
Yeah.
And Romans 8 does such a beautiful job of even showing that character of the Lord. Like, how could he who did not spare his own son not freely give us all things? Like, the cross is the crescendo of like, this is what he's like, you know? Yeah. And I just want to pray, if it's okay with you. I know it's off topic, but I would love to just pray, since that's kind of the way we've gone. For new levels of intimacy, for those that are listening, that there would be a radical just revelation of grace to our hearts and the grace to come to grow deeper than we even thought was possible, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
We, Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful that you chose to come to dwell inside of us, to reveal the nature of Jesus to us. And I'm asking right now, Lord, that every single one of those that are watching this, God, whether it be the day that it's released or 6 months or a year or 5 years later, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to release a grace upon their hearts to fall madly in love with Jesus. God, we love because you first loved us. And so, God, I pray that as you shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, that a fresh grace would come upon us to know you in ways that we've never known you before. God, that everyone watching, Lord, that they would hear your voice clearly as you speak to them throughout the day. God, that you're not just a quiet time God that visits for an hour in the morning, but that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, that we truly have an invitation to be one with you. God, I pray that your bride would get a radical revelation of John 50. You and us, and us and you, God, that we would be one, that the bride of Christ would be one, that we would come together in unity. And so even right now, as they're watching, Holy Spirit, would you do that? What only you can do, no human can muster it up. Would you truly go touch hearts? Would you reveal Jesus? Would you baptize them in love, in peace, in joy, and in grace? Give us a greater understanding, Lord, of what it means to be in love with you, to know you deeply and intimately. You are so worth it. You are so worth every no and every yes. You are so worth it, God. And so we love you. God, I just pray that you would bless Liz, bless her team, and those that sacrificed so much to put this on so that people all around the world could have encounters with you and get to know you better. There's no better thing than knowing you, Lord. And so I just pray, even even in all the other episodes that Liz will record, God, that people would radically encounter you through this ministry and through this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Amen. We agree. There's such a beautiful, heavy presence of Holy Spirit right now. We agree. Yeah. And that your hearts, guys, would completely fall in love. Like Jessica was saying, fall in love with Jesus so that you are just a person obsessed because he's worthy. Yeah. And he's coming back for a bride who's completely, utterly in love with him, obsessed with him, compelled so, yes. by love, fueled yeah. by love, yeah. empowered by love, not yeah. living in reaction to the natural circumstances of our lives, no matter how extreme, but actually yeah. just the strength of our life being his love for us and our love for him, the union that we now have. It's the gospel. It's just amazing. You know, I'll just finish by sharing this. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We agree yeah. for everything for yeah. you to experience this today. And yeah, deeper and more life-changing encounters than you ever have experienced. And I'll just share this with you in finishing. So I had an encounter quite a while back now. I was taken into heaven and I heard Holy Spirit speaking very clearly that this was the time, this is the generation now where the blood is coming back center stage. It's going to be understood by our generation, probably as much as they knew in the early church, if not more, and that we would live in the fullness of the understanding of the atonement and the privilege and what's happened to us, and that we would experience that. So what you just said then, I've been living, studying that, looking for this to start to ripple out through the body of Christ and this revelation Amen. To be restored back to us and to us living in the experience of it. So yeah.
Amen. Oh, that's Amen. So good. So confirming. I believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 So do I. Jessica, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Your precious time. It's amazing talking with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Liz.
And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time too. Have the most beautiful Jesus-filled, love-filled week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. 2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said, if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.